This is Weekend Edition on WNYC. I'm David First. In the days following President Trump's dismissal of Jeff Sessions as Attorney General and the naming of former Justice Department official Matthew Whitaker as acting AG, one name kept popping up as a possible formal replacement.
I did not see Chris Christie yesterday. I heard he was in the White House. He's a friend of mine. He's a good man. When he got out of the presidential race, as you know, the next day, he supported me. He has good taste.
As we contemplate this possibility, we thought it might be time for a chat with WNYC's Matt Katz. Matt covered Chris Christie for over 5 years. He wrote the book, American Governor, Chris Christie's Bridge to Redemption. And we worked together on the Christie Tracker podcast for 2 years here at WNYC. Matt Katz, welcome back.
Thank you, David. It's like deja vu all over again, speculating about Chris Christie getting a big job in Washington. I feel like we did that many, many times.
Well, Matt, here we are again. Chris Christie famously became one of the very first establishment Republicans to endorse the candidacy of Donald Trump. He was expected to get a job with the administration, but it didn't happen. And attorney general is the job that Chris Christie was after, right? Before it was given to Jeff Sessions. So what do we know about why Chris Christie didn't get a job in the administration?
Right. Well, technically, he wanted two jobs, either vice president or attorney general.
Right.
And he was offered some other cabinet jobs that he didn't deem important enough for himself. So both of those big jobs, the VP and AG, were reportedly scuttled by omnipotent son-in-law Jared Kushner. And that's entirely because when Christie was the U.S. attorney in New Jersey, he put Kushner's dad in prison. And then the other issue for Christie when it came to AG might have been the ongoing Bridgegate scandal. It hadn't really been settled at that point. In fact, it hasn't yet been settled. The two people who were sentenced to prison are appealing, and the appellate court has yet to make a decision on that. But with an even more Republican Senate now, regardless of how those Bridgegate sentences turn out, I don't think there's any indication that he'll have trouble if he were to become AG getting through a Republican Senate. They've shown nothing but total fealty to Trump. So the Bridgegate probably would not be an issue, and at least in terms of getting the job.
So Jeff Sessions was reportedly fired for not stopping the Mueller investigation into the president. Chris Christie had an investigation into his administration as governor. It's hard not to draw parallels. What does Bridgegate say about the kind of attorney general Chris Christie would be?
So my overall takeaway from watching Christie through the years is that he's a careerist. He's looking for the next job, and he will change his views and his alliances based on that. And I still have got to believe that the job he still wants more than anything is president. So we have to assume that he will, like other attorneys general before him, use the Justice Department stage to try to get to the Oval Office. Now, if at some point the political winds shift and being disloyal to Trump seems like the way to get to become president, then maybe he'll be an independent attorney general. But in all likelihood, if it continues to look like loyalty to Trump is what it takes to remain as attorney general and then position himself to run for president later on, I would expect he will do whatever he can to please the president. So how does that connect with Bridgegate? We know from the federal Bridgegate trial that both the prosecution and the defense said Christie knew about the lane closures to the George Washington Bridge before, during, and after it happened. Deputy Chief of Staff Bridget Kelly testified that she told Christie about the lane closures before she wrote that famous time for some traffic problems in Fort Lee email, and then twice again while the lanes were closed, even going so far as to discuss how the mayor of Fort Lee thought it was a political retaliation plot against him, which of course it was. And then several other Christie loyalists also testified under oath that Christie knew after the fact, even as he continued to plead ignorance.
Well, let me tell you, everybody, I was blindsided yesterday morning.
I mean, even Donald Trump himself thinks Christie knew about it.
They're with him all the time, the people that did it. They never said, hey, boss, we're closing up the George Washington Bridge tonight. No, they never said. They're talking about the weather, right? Then, so he knew about it. He knew about it. Totally knew about it.
That was on the campaign trail when Trump and Christie were running against each other for president. This all gets to how an attorney general, Chris Christie, might investigate criminality in the executive branch, which really may be the most important question facing the country right now. So after Bridgegate explodes open and after we know what happened, Christie authorizes what ends up being like a $15 million internal investigation. Now, this internal investigation, conducted by one of Rudy Giuliani's former deputy mayors, was just universally condemned as a sham. His so-called investigators didn't talk to the main players involved. They blamed Bridget Kelly for being heartbroken over a failed relationship. And then during this process, this whole, like, sham investigation, internal investigation, Christie's cell phone disappeared. This is a cell phone in which he had sent text that he later deleted to his then chief of staff during damning testimony about Bridgegate that was happening in the legislature. And David, ask me where that cell phone is right now.
Hey, Matt, where's that cell phone right now?
Well, we think it might be with the FBI director. And why? The FBI director, Christopher Wray, was Christie's secret Bridgegate attorney that none of us knew about until much later on. And it is to Christopher Wray that Christie gave his cell phone for safekeeping while he was under federal investigation. And then Christopher Wray became FBI director at Christie's recommendation. So it's all a tangled Bridgegate weave.
Okay, my head is officially spinning. Now, Matt, there was another investigation that the Christie administration was accused of killing, the indictment of the sheriff of Hunterdon County, who was a Christie ally. Can you tell us about that one?
Yeah, Ben Barlin was his name. Remember this name because he could potentially testify in a Christie Senate confirmation hearing if a Democrat wants to cause some trouble. But Ben Barlin was an assistant prosecutor in Hunterdon County, and he had what looked like a rock-solid corruption indictment against the local sheriff and two of the sheriff's aides. But the sheriff was a supporter of the governor, and suddenly Christie's then state attorney general quashed the indictment, which was highly unusual to bigfoot a local probe like that. And then the prosecutor, Barlin, was fired. Now, he filed a whistleblower suit that kicked around forever. The state spent, under Christie, spent $3 million in legal fees on the case. And then Barlin walked away with a $1.5 million settlement in his whistleblower suit. So that could indicate the legitimacy of the claim he had. And it gets to this larger question about whether Christie, as the U.S. Attorney General, can be trusted to be an independent arbiter of whether there's shenanigans going on in the executive branch.
WNYC's Matt Katz covered Chris Christie for more than 5 years. He's the author of the book, American Governor, Chris Christie's Bridge to Redemption. Thanks, Matt.
Thank you, David.